little boy named Philip, and he announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to be a preacher when I grow up." And Mom looked at Philip and said, "Well, that's okay with me, but what made you decide that?" And Philip looked at Mom and said, "Well, I decided I have to go to church anyways. And so I think it'll be more fun to stand up and yell in the pulpit than to sit down and listen." So I agree with that. It's a lot of fun standing up here and screaming. So Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 28, we're going to be looking at over the next few weeks, marks of a great church. Marks of a, or the characteristics of a great church. Starting out in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says, "The former treaties," or treatise, "have I made, O Theophilus." When you look up and commentators study it in the book of Acts, there's debate on who Theophilus was. Some even say he may have been an unsaved man. But here we see that it's written to Theophilus, O Theophilus, "of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Then you go to Acts chapter 28, because this is the last chapter, and we see the last two verses. And we're going to put this together to help us understand the start or the purpose of the book of Acts. Most of us, at the top of the book, it says the Acts of the Apostles. Well, there you saw in Acts chapter 1, this was written to Theophilus to tell us about what Jesus came to do and to teach. And then in verse chapter 28, verse 30, it says, "And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his hired house," in his own hired house, "and received all that came unto him." And look at verse 31, the start of it in Acts chapter 1, and now at the end, what was he doing? He was preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Here you see the book of Acts. What was the purpose of the book of Acts? It's not the Acts of the Apostles. What it is it's the Acts of Jesus. All right? It's the apostles, it's his servants telling about Jesus. That's what the book of Acts is about. The book of Acts is a historical record of a bunch of people that got fired up for God and they still continued talking about God. Because Jesus is the focal point. If you want to go somewhere in your car, you need to get gas in your tank. If there's no gasoline in the tank, you're not going to get anywhere. I don't know if any of you have tried that. Some of you probably have. Gasoline is, for most of us, we understand that now, deep mechanical brains that we have, we understand that gasoline is an indispensable element. Gasoline stations are placed and are set to give you what you need. But in order to get filled up, what do you have to do? You've got to get to the gas station. Get where the gas is located. Many Christians don't get filled up because they never go to where they can get filled up. You know where that is? Church. And the book of Acts discusses how this church started moving forward. And it was about Jesus. And so we come together as a group of people. We come together and the purpose is not to stand and say, "Oh man, did you hear what I did this week? Oh man, my job is doing that." And those are all good things. To talk about your job and talk about maybe some things that happened at work and maybe some things in the family. But the purpose of the church is us to gather together and talk about the things of the Lord. It's about Christ. Many Christians don't get filled up because they never get to where they should be. And that is to the gas station, the church. A gas station, a grocery store, different places, they're necessity stores where you get life essentials for spiritual growth. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look at what makes the church great. What makes a church important? And hopefully we can learn some important truths. As we saw right away in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 28, we see the acts of Jesus Christ through his servants. There was an author that wrote a few years ago. He said, imagine gang members, drug dealers, racist, sex offenders being transformed by the gospel. Imagine politicians and judges and other influential leaders taking stands based on the Word of God. Imagine hundreds and thousands of people being saved in a single church service. Imagine this. But it all happened in the book of Acts. And it can happen again if we're willing to pay the price. The early church, as recorded in the book of Acts, was a dynamic, growing church. It turned the world upside down in spite of incredible opposition. It had terrible persecution from the Jewish authorities and then from the might of the Roman Empire. The church grew and became so dynamic that within 300 years, the Roman Empire had surrendered to the gospel of Christ. Even so that Constantine converted to Christianity. Now, there's a lot of debate on whether he really was saved or not. But he did want everybody to be a Christian. That's the power that is available to you and I. And it's available in a church that is focused on Jesus Christ and not on petty things. Not on little things that aren't important. It's focused on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ writes and gives us the book of Acts so that we can push aside the silliness and we can focus on Jesus. And that's what we're going to be talking about. Some marks of a great church. Let's open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we do ask that you would push aside, Lord, even our thoughts of the weather, thoughts of other things that may creep into our minds. Meet with us here this morning. Lord, be with us. Lord, I claim your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 41. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and departed them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The army of God is arising in this hour, rising in God's holy might to do battle in his power. For this is the season we need to begin to rise to show the world of God's holy truth and the hope of our risen Christ. We need to fight our enemy every step that we take because he is there to pull us down and sow doubt within our faith. For if we listen to his lies and fall beneath his attack, the power of God we had before, we find we soon will lack. It's not worth the agony to give in to his ways, but keep your faith in Jesus Christ strong as your spirit prays. For this is what empowers us and builds us up much more so we can arise more boldly against the enemy of the Lord. What is a great characteristic of a godly church? We're going to talk about one point this morning, and that is a godly church has a great purpose. A godly church has a great purpose. And what is the purpose? We're going to look at three purposes this morning. Charles Kahn tells of a time when he lived in Atlanta, Georgia. He noticed he was flipping through the yellow pages, and in the listings of the restaurants, there was an entry for a restaurant called the Church of God Grill. The peculiar name aroused his curiosity, and so he dialed the number. A man answered, "Hello, Church of God Grill." He asked how the restaurant had been given such an unusual name. And the man continued to tell him. He said, "Well, we had a little mission down here. And we would bring people into church and we would sell chicken. We sold some chicken dinners after church on Sunday to help pay the bills. Well, people liked the chicken. And we did such good business that eventually we cut back on the church service and we just started selling chicken. And after a while, we just shut down the church altogether and we kept on serving the chicken dinners. We really liked the name, though, the Church of God Grill." Now, isn't it sad? Because you know what I saw. The whole purpose of the church was not to sell chicken dinners. But the purpose of the church got pushed aside, and then they started having another purpose. This is what you and I have to be careful of. We have to be careful that we as a church understand there is a purpose, and the purpose, hey, it's great to have an academy. It's great to have buildings. It's great to have all kinds of activity. But activity does not make us a good church. Activity alone can ruin us. Oh, we can have a Wrestle-rama, and we can have swim times, and we can have all kinds of things, but if we lose our purpose, then God can't bless us. God cannot have favor on us. Acts chapter 1, what is one of the purposes of the church? Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 4. "And being assembled together," we also see a passage in the end of Luke. I think it's Luke chapter 24. Or Luke chapter 23, where Jesus tells his people that, tells his disciple, "Tarry ye here until I come with power from on high." Here we see in verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem." But look what he said, "but wait for the promise of the Father." What's one of the purposes of the church? Number one is our purpose is to obey God. It's to obey God. It's not to do just what we think. It's not just to do what some organization tells us to do. It's not to go to some conference and get together with a bunch of preachers and say, "Hey, you know what, all of us together, this is what we have to do. This might be good for their church, and this may be good for their church, but our church must obey God." That is our purpose. And sometime God says, "Wait here. Just wait." It amazes me sometimes how people, man, we get up in a frenzy, don't we? Man, we're running here and we're running there and running there. And sometimes God just wants you to obey me. Just wait. Sometimes, and later on, we see that God also told them, "Go ye into all the world." So it doesn't have to be that, "Wait, I'm confused. God told them to wait, and then he said, go." Yes, he did. But it's whenever God says it. And so what do we need to do as a church? What we need to learn is we must obey God and follow him and follow his leading and his guidance. And if we do, then we're a great church. If we get it in our heads that we're going to do our own thing, man, it really doesn't matter what the Bible says. You get away from God's commandments and God's word. Then it doesn't matter how spiritual you think you are. You're not spiritual. Because doing your own thing doesn't make you godly. Obeying God makes you godly. We must obey God. And then notice what it says in verse 8. They tarried, waited for the promise of the Father. Then in verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. So in obeying God, we wait on his timing. We wait and obey him, and then God will give us that promise. And then he'll say, go out and do my business. So what is one of the purposes of the church? One of the purposes is to obey God. We find that in chapter 1. But then, chapter 1 and verse 8, we're supposed to, secondly, reach out to others. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. We read that. You're going to be witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. Look at chapter 2 and verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. And the Spirit gave them utterance. And what were they doing? They were speaking out to others. Reaching out to others. The purpose, one of the purposes of a church is to reach out to others. It's to evangelize. They were to be witnesses. They offered the gospel to the Jews. The sermon was simple. The purpose was plain. He wanted to help people. God wants a church to help people to get to heaven. As long as you are in this world, God will give you new ways and new opportunities to reach out with the gospel to others. I read of a man who received a letter in February of 1994, and the letter was about evangelism in Russia. It said the communist Iron Curtain had fallen down, and the first time in 70 years, the door was wide open to share the gospel in the old Soviet Union. The letter he got that day wasn't even a personal letter, but God moved on his heart, and he dropped what he was doing for about 3 or 4 months and went over to the Soviet Union, and he just started handing out thousands of tracts in John Romans. Why? Because he said, you know what, God? You want me to do this. I'm going to obey God, and one of my purposes is to reach out to others. Now, that's not for everybody. But you know what? God is going to lay on your heart how you, as part of our church, can reach out to other people and get them saved. If you are not actively reaching out to get someone saved, then I'm sorry, you're a sad member of our church. You're not a good church member. Because a godly church, a good church, is always looking for ways to reach out to others and not compromising. We're not getting people in using the world's tricks. Funny things all the time just to get people in. No, we try to think it through and try to reach out. And so we have a men's barbecue. Why do we have a men's barbecue? So we can see 500 men come in. And we give some silly gifts out. And we say, hey, we're going to have a drawing. Why? Because we want souls reached. We have a mother-daughter banquet. And then in March, we're going to have a friend night. Not a friend day, but a friend night. Why? Because, you know what, we thought, hey, it's hard sometimes on Sunday morning. You bring in a friend and you don't even know if they came or not. But on Sunday night, we can do it. And we can go and we can trim things back. And we don't have to have all the choir and all the band stuff. We can make it slim and sleek. And then we are focused on what? Reaching out to others. If you look in the Bible here, Look at chapter 2. This was interesting to me. They go, and we read verse 4, right? And here at Pentecost, they're sharing the gospel. But look at verse 12 and 13. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. What happened to them? They're preaching the word, and all of a sudden people are outside saying, you know what? I know why they're doing it. Those guys are lunatics. They're crazy. So what did they do? They stop. They look at those guys. I'm pretty sure, as I was studying it in the Greek, that they picked them up. They scraped their heads on the ground. It's somewhere in between 12 and 13 and 14 that I found it. It was in an ancient writing. And then they scraped their head. All right. There's gravel and bit. And then they took out razor blades. All right. And they skinned them a little bit. I'm telling you, that's the Greek word, I think, these. All right. And then, I mean, they were there and man, they were just, no, that's not what they did. What did they do? Look at verse 21. And it shall come to pass. They're mocking them. You guys are drunkards. What's up with you? And in verse 21, they said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't faze them. They just keep going and saying, hey, you're going to die and go to hell. We reach out to others. Look at chapter 3. They go in, Peter and John. In chapter 3 and verse 6, and Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Look at verse 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And what you'll find in this text is that all of a sudden they're saying, why are you doing this? What's going on? Look at verse 19. But Peter and John turned to them and said, repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Look at chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. They spake unto the people in verse 1. The captain of the temple, the Sadducees, they come unto him, verse 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. They laid hands on them, put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. So now in chapter 2, they're saying they're drunkards. Chapter 3, they're saying, you know what, this is crazy. They're mocking them. Chapter 4, they grab them and throw them in holding. But look at verses 8 through 10. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Look at the Greek again. I am right. Stop it. This isn't fair. I'm calling my lawyer. Now, what does he say? If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that it's by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. They can't stop talking about Jesus. And you know what? Some of you sitting here, you've been in our church and you're enjoying it, but you haven't started talking about Jesus yet. And that's a sad member. As you can talk about this criticism, and you can have this criticism, and that criticism, but you never have Jesus coming out of your mouth. I know what you are then. You're not part of a godly church. And it's sad because what are we trying to be? A godly church. A godly church, and a godly church has members that it doesn't matter if they're thrown in jail. It doesn't matter if they're made fun of. It doesn't matter what happens. They can't shut us up about Jesus. What is our purpose? Our purpose is not to get sidetracked. And to get sidetracked with little petty things and get sidetracked with this and that. No, our purpose is to lead people to Jesus. Most of us have experienced this. One day, Michelangelo, the great artist, stood outside a window. He saw a canvas. And he saw a few brushes and paints next to it. And all that was missing, there was paint, there was a canvas, and there was brushes. And all that was missing was an artist. Michelangelo turned to a friend and said, oh, if I could only be inside, what a picture I could paint. And you and I, we've tasted of Christ. And we should be out there looking in the world, and we see a canvas, and we see paint, and we see paintbrushes, and we say, oh man, if you just get to Jesus, what a picture he could make of your life. Oh, some of you, you went to the bottle and it was empty. You went to drugs and it was empty. You filled yourself up with self and it's empty. Oh, but you found Christ. And Christ made the dainties of this world go away. And you sit down and you feast with Christ and he fills you up. And we should go out and say, hey, I know you're hurting world. But we have a solution. We have an answer. And sometimes they don't want it. Sometimes they reject it. Sometimes they mock us. Sometimes they scoff at us. But does it stop us? It should not. Because one of the purposes of the church is to not stop telling about Jesus. Purpose of the church is to obey God. The purpose of the church is to tell others about God. And then the other purpose of the church found in our text is to build his people. Look at in verse 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. Look at verse 44, and all that believed were together, had all things in common. Verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. We can't just stop in winning someone to the Lord. What's the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to obey God. That's Acts 1. In Acts 2, we see the purpose of the church is then to go and to reach out to others. And then in chapter 2, you see there's another purpose of the church, and that is to build up our people. We win them, and then we build them. That's what we're doing. We win them, and then we build them. In Romania, many Eastern European countries, this was a few years ago, I think at the end of the 90s, the beginning of the 2000s. In Romania and Eastern European countries, there were so many orphans institutionalized that there wasn't enough food to feed them. There wasn't enough medical supplies. There weren't enough staff members to take care of them. The babies, often past toddler age, and that means 2-year-olds and 3-year-olds and even 4-year-olds, were still kept in diapers and placed in cribs, even though they were past the toddler age. Some of them even at 5 and at 6 and at 7 years old, because of the malnourishment and because they didn't have any way to take care of them. They were lifted out of the cribs to be fed. They had to have their diapers changed. And one of the big problems they saw when medical technicians came and they went to Romania and some of these Eastern European countries and they started dealing with these kids, guess what they noticed? They noticed that just a touch of a human hand helped them heal. Just the touch of a human hand. Because they had never felt it before. They had never felt a caress. They had never felt a touch that said, I care about you. And some of you sitting in here, you attend our church and you're a part of our church, but there's people that you don't care about. And you say you're a godly person. You are bitterness toward them and you've gossiped about them. You've run your mouth about them. And all we need as a church is to step alongside somebody that's hurting and caress them sometime. And build them up. I understand rules. I understand discipline. You ask my children. I understand that.
But I understand God's love because at some point God's love reached down to me. And although I let him down, and although I sin, God comes to me and he has his gentle hand that touches me. Says, oh, I will be with you and I care about you. On Thursday or Friday, this past week, walking out the front desk, this little girl standing there. We'll say her name, embarrass her. She was standing there. And I said, oh, what's going on? You know, it's the lineup, you know. I said, oh, what's up? She's like, oh. And she explained the situation and something with detention or whatever. And I said, oh, guess what? It had something to do with money. I said, oh, in my pocket I just happened to have. I must have slipped it in there this morning. I went in and saw the secretary. I said, hey, it's paid. Came back out and said, hey, have a good day. It's taken care of. Oh, yeah, I understand. It's a rule. And I obeyed it. It had to be paid. Because God paid my debt. He paid your debt. And I understand rules. And I understand discipline. And we have it. But we also need to build each other up. And we have widows sitting out here that have lost a husband. We have widowers that have lost a wife. They've lost a mate. And they're hurting. But you know what? They just need to deal with it. With your help. So come alongside. And help one of them. Maybe it's a single person here. Oh, you know, I understand you're a single girl and you're like 48 years old. It'll never happen. No, it won't. Oh, I'm sorry. But you know what? They need fellowship. And if you study the word fellowship, you study that word fellowship, it's a Greek word. This actually is in the Greek. Koinonia is the name of the word. Most of the time, when we read the word fellowship in Acts chapter 2, you know what pops into your head? Potluck dinner. Now you know, and I know, Bill, because I have no clue who touched that food. You know what I mean? That's why, Bill, you see on those get-togethers, he's always sitting here. And he's kind of convinced me. You know what I mean? You know, because I've been to some of your houses. All right, anyways, But fellowship, we sometimes look at it and say, man, this fellowship, it's a potluck dinner. No, it's described in the text. What does it tell us? It says, they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking from bread and house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. You go back earlier and it says they went together and they were talking about the word. I don't just get together and there's nothing wrong with having a little food and fellowship that way. But the fellowship here is talking about coming alongside somebody and spiritually you're building each other up. So are you doing it? As a church, what is our purpose? To obey God. That's a command. And one of the commands is to go out. Reach into all the world. But then another command is to build each other up. And so what do we need to do? Oh yeah, we got to have the discipline. And we've got to have some of that strength because God gives us that strength. And you know this. We're not going to compromise and we're not going to let down. That's why I believe God had us as a theme that the old ways are the good ways. Stay in them. Oh, we're not moving from those old ways. But one of the old ways is God's unbelievable love. And so you can come down, and I know, I talked to some of the little kids here. I remember Brandon sitting there, right on the side. I was coming along, and I try to take notice of our little kids. You know why? They need to know that their pastor prays for them. And I don't think I've ever heard Brandon say three words. And Brandon just let it out. Years of torment and torture in his house. And I understand it because I think I'd have done the same thing. But man, he just let it rip for like 5 minutes about some candy cell store and a dollar and this. I had no clue. And I was trying to get a hold of his parents and say, rescue me, please, help me. But all of us, we have problems, right? And we have ought sometimes against each other. But can't we go to one another? Can't we do that? Can't we build each other up? And then some of these folks that we're trying to get out there, I mean, if they see that, in this church, that'll draw them here. Because you work in the world and you know it's cutthroat and it's evil and it's vindictive. And it shouldn't be here in the house of the Lord. It should be that you come here and someone has a need. What do you need? I'll drop whatever. And yeah, we'll get cockeyed one towards another. But then let God come in and help us build each other. It's a story of a huge barge loaded with brick and rock that was in the New York Harbor many years ago, and it sank in the New York Harbor. It sat there for a period of years. It had mired deep in the mud. It sank a little more each year from weight. The engineers attempted to build a large bridge. And all kinds of problems occurred. All their efforts and machinery could not do the job. The engineers couldn't figure it out. Finally, there was a young engineer that came up with an idea, and they gave it a try. They got a couple of big barges. They chained them all together, and they floated into the area at low tide. And then the chains were hooked to the sunken barge. And then they backed off all these other barges and waited. As the tide began to rise, there was a creaking, a groaning, a stretching of the chains, and soon the barge was broken loose. And the power of the Atlantic Ocean raised the barge, but it was combined with, guess what? The chains of other barges reaching in to lift it out. As I read that story, I thought of our church. And you know what? Sometimes each and every one of us gets sunk down. And you know it, because one of the things of a great church is that there's great persecution, and there's great trials, and we have to go through trials. It could be a trial of finances. It could be a trial of physical capacity. It could be some other trial in your life. Maybe it is sin, and you're getting overwhelmed, and you're getting pushed down. And as a church, we can latch together and we can latch on to that person. And through the power of God, we can lift that barge again. That's the mark of a great church. Mark of a great church is that we have purpose. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the book of Acts. Holy Spirit, help us. As the testimony said, Holy Spirit, lead and guide us. Help us not to be insensitive to your moving and your speaking. Oh Lord, help us. This morning, the piano and organ are going to play in just a moment. God may have dealt with your heart. God dealt with your heart, then you come and you take care of it. You do what God tells you to do. The Holy Spirit deals with you,
and you want him to talk to you. Say, all right, God, what do I need to change? Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that we have a Bible we can go to get instruction. Bless the invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed.